Hello, this is Mike Falick, and you're listening to a hate-free podcast. That's right, this podcast contains no slurs or words that would degrade anyone because of any characteristic that they cannot change or that they can change and are just a part of their person. If you would like this message to play at the beginning of your podcast, contact me at Big Lil Weasel on Twitter, and you can be part of not being a fucking jerk. Don't be a jerk. And I'll, if you have a clean podcast, then I'll have censored the fucking, I won't say fucking because I guess you don't want to say, I don't like the word clean, but I keep saying fucking over and over again. So you won't hear fucking. Maybe I'll even make a shorter version if you don't have cursing on your show. Fucking.
I only have one intro and I'm only ever going to have one intro from now on. If we ever start to say that we're stuck in a river, we're just stuck in a river. It's a thing we do. We pretend we're stuck in a river. There's no joke you're missing. Fun thing to do at home. Deepu, bring in the show. Oh, we have to look it up. Could you, do you have your computer in front of you?
This is Let's Start a Cult Podcast, Quiet Saga, Nepper's Edition, Mike Episode, theme song by Freddie Unreal of the Turnbucklers.
Ladies and gentlemen, but not ladies and gentlemen, because I'm trying not to say gender words. Welcome to Let's Start a Cult Podcast, a podcast about groupthink thoughts that we don't think to think about. Here it comes, Deepu, the fight you've been waiting for, the chance of a lifetime. One and only one topic for today, and I think Deepu doesn't know what it is. This is my new game, though, making him guess what I think he thinks it is. He might guess this time, people.
It's terrifying.
What do you think it is?
Oh,
something you've been wanting to talk about with me.
Oh, man, curing my stupidity? Is there a cure for, for dumbness?
I've been working on that. Thousands of rats have died.
Okay, why
I didn't even treat them. I just injected a sample of Deepu's stupidity in them. Dead.
They're just walking around in circles, babbling.
Oh, come on, it's an obvious gut one here.
I don't know, dude. I'm honestly at
guess,
a loss here.
Guess. I'll give you one guess.
How do I install doorknobs so well?
No, I'm done with the doorknob thing. Cheese powder, everyone.
Oh.
Cheese powder, cheese powder, cheese powder, cheese powder. Deepu,
this is gonna be the most nauseating conversation.
If you don't follow me on social media, I have been posting about how I fucking love cheese powder and how it is. You can't see me right now, but I have my new standing up microphone and I'm making fucking rocking out horns right now. and I am just, yeah. my horns are hooking them and they're saying, I love rock. And they're saying, cheese powder, cheese powder, cheese powder. I keep buying online artificial cheese powders and putting it on my food.
Wow.
Deepu, thoughts?
Deepu
has some big opinion about it.
I happen to think that cheese powder is kind of disgusting. You know, it all starts with, is it a processed thing?
All right, fine. Obviously, we're going to start from a point of ignorance. You're going to do some low blows here and say that you think it's disgusting, which is utterly ridiculous. Why is it disgusting? Hey, let me say this. Here's my, all right, we'll get to my pitch for cheese powder later. Why is it disgusting? I'm so excited. Why is cheese powder disgusting? Come at me, motherfucker.
I don't like the smell. I don't like it's unnatural.
What's the smell? First of all, let's go with that first of all. How much cheese powder, because I've bought cheese powder and had it in my home. Some of it's real, by the way, before we get to your artificial thing. Some of it is just dehydrated cheese. And some of it is artificial. The artificial stuff is awesome. How much have you ever bought in your life?
Only the cheese covering, the cheese doodles.
Okay. So you think cheese doodles smell disgusting, which is not cheese powder.
Is that not? Is that a different
thing? Well,
you've
never bought the, there's lots of other smells going on in there. You've never owned, I'm asking how many packets you've owned of powdered cheese. When do you come across powdered cheese? That's my question.
I fucking never come across powdered cheese.
Okay, so there you go. So that's the first thing. I think the most common place that people have actually came across it in their own homes is in certain brands of macaroni and cheese that come with a small bag of powdered cheese. Have you ever bought one of those?
You know, all the time.
Did you smell the cheese beforehand?
I do, but only to make sure that it's not somehow infected with mold.
Okay, don't know why it would be, but and I don't know how you smell for mold.
I have a good
some sort of superpower.
I'm really good. And I actually took a course in mycology.
Oh, bullshit. Bullshit. I guarantee I could put a moldy piece of bread under your nose, a blind test, and you wouldn't know.
I mean, it's kind of dangerous to smell mold, but yeah. I could tell. There's a small chance. There's a small chance
that's dangerous to smell food mold?
It is technically, yes. If your immune system is not strong enough, it could kill you.
This is again with the medical advice on the show. I can't even right now.
No, the bot.
I think when people talk about smelling mold deep, they talk about like household molds.
Hmm. Well, or if you have a giant bag of cheese, or
I do not think that type of mold can kill you.
You know, you're probably right. Let's move on.
I don't think it's dangerous at all to smell that. And are you willing to take the risk? Because I'm pretty sure you can eat bread mold. Like, I don't think it's bad. I think you're thinking of, like, mold that destroys an entire house.
They make medicine from certain molds. Like,
from one type of mold. But, yeah. Okay, so the point here is, did you like that smell? You didn't even, whoa, I don't know. I'm giving you a chance to backtrack. The answer's fucking no, because you didn't even remember smelling the cheese packets. I had to remind you when you had it.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot that I buy Kraft, or I buy certain
you can say Kraft. Kraft is one of the brands that does it. There's plenty of brands that do it. You didn't even fucking remember it. Boom. That's point one to Michael. Crowd goes wild. Yeah. Yeah. They're throwing beer cans at Deepu. Yeah.
No,
you suck. You suck. There's a little kid in there with a little doll of you. He's smashing
it. I know I'm right. I swear.
Yeah. I don't know what. Why don't crowds? If I ever have a crowd at my control, I want them to all go yeah and see what it sounds like. If I had like a good 60 people to just go yeah. Why don't we do that? Okay. So. Okay. What else is your problem with it?
It's messy.
Okay. Here we go. It isn't messy. Okay. Here we're gonna go. So A. Here's my whole point about cheese powder. I think everyone knows, most people know, my record about pepper. I don't know why pepper is on every table. It's crazy that pepper is a flavor that people think tastes good on enough stuff to have on a table, okay? That's my position in the first place. But this is not, I'm not a culinary expert, so I don't want people to think it's a culinary thing. Mm-hmm. The fact is that if there was an ingredient as prevalent in your world as cheese powder, like, and you didn't have it in the home, it would seem weird. Like, in my opinion, the fact that cheese powder is on tons of shit and, like, easily purchasable on the internet and in stores, by the way, like, go into your store, I guarantee somewhere they have cheese powder, like, at your local grocery store or at a grocery store around you, like, pretty readily available. Like, if there was any other product so prevalent in ingredients and you didn't have them in your home, like, and you enjoyed it yourself, like, that's weird.
Well, so outside of mac and cheese boxes, most people are not going to have this in their home.
But here's my question. Yeah. If it's in mac and cheese fucking boxes, and you like that mac and cheese, why wouldn't you then easily go buy that same ingredient so you could put on other mac and cheese?
I mean, or you mean to put on other foods in general?
Or even other mac and cheeses, like not the one bought from the box that comes with the powder.
I mean, yeah, that's a very creative idea. You have very creative food ideas.
But it's not about creativity. It's more like, how do people enjoy cheese doodles or cheese puffs or cheese-covered fucking anything, like Doritos, and not then go out and buy that ingredient that's on it? Like, why do people own other chips, but they don't own the other, like, powders on some of these flavors?
Well, maybe they associate that flavor as, like, you know, a rarity, a thing to have once in a while. So they just only get it when it's in the pre-made form, you know.
That's
the cheese
fine.
Doodle.
That's a fine theory, and that's okay to assume maybe that's what someone thinks. But the fact is that Doritos, Cheese Puffs, Cheetos, these are fucking internationally popular brands that sell buckets of them every day. And what I'm saying is I guarantee, for the most part, and this is without taking a survey, that for the most part, if someone likes any of those cheese-powdered snacks I've just listed, I bet Smart Food is another one, you know, that popcorn, I would bet money that they don't own the cheese powder in the house. That's what I'm talking about being weird.
I think it's totally normal that they don't have it. I think...
Why?
I think people are scared that it looks like radioactive, almost. Like, it's just...
But the foods look radioactive.
again, they don't, they're not eating that kind of food ideally, like all the time. So
I'm not talking about that. Again, you're making up people. I'm saying there are people that eat a lot cheese powdered snacks. And I'm saying those people probably don't have cheese powder in their home. I'm saying for the amount of people that eat a cheese powdered snack, they don't have cheese powder in their home.
And what are you saying? That it should be...
That's fucking odd. If you eat salty snacks all the time, when you go home to prepare snacks, you're going to be like, let's go get some salt.
Yeah, I mean, you're doing a good job defending your purchase of cheese powder, but you're not convincing me to buy it myself.
Do you like cheese?
Okay.
Okay, so then how could I ever convince you?
I mean, are you being hired by a cheese company? Like, what's your big...
Part of the cheese conglomerate. No, I'm not being hired by a fucking cheese company.
Are you hired by Big Cheese right now? What's
going on? I'm hired by Big Cheese. Big Dairy is one people accuse people of. I'm not. All I'm saying is it's a logical fallacy that if you enjoyed salty foods, you would buy salt for your home. If you enjoyed cheesy snacks, you would buy cheese powder. But people do not do it. They have the reaction of you, like, why buy that?
I don't know. Maybe it's a commitment thing.
So you don't like cheese, so you would never like any of this stuff that I was talking about.
Yeah.
So what does it matter?
If I had held
up a bag of cheese that wasn't powder, you would have also been like, ew.
I mean, lately I'm just on a health kick, so this is a bad time to ask me about all these things. But, you know,
cannot get into nutrition with you anymore. We have a lot of cut off mic conversations and on mic conversations in which I can't listen to Deepu's conversations about nutrition anymore. It's getting very odd for the listener, by the way. It's getting really weird. I just can't. His idea of what is healthy and what is not healthy, it's all very strange. I don't. So we can't talk about what a health kick is.
10 grams of fats a day, folks. 10 grams of fats a day. Anyway, so what were you saying?
Why are you giving time and time again, I beg you to do, hey, Deepu, talk about whatever you want to talk. Talk about porn on the show. Sure, talk about cartoon porn and bears fucking people. I don't care. Oh, Deepu, don't make sense for half an episode. That's fine, okay?
I'm stuck in a river.
Oh, my gosh. Are you? Deepu, I don't want you to look behind you.
What?
But there's a giant... There's an even bigger river right behind you.
No.
Okay.
I'm so fucked.
Okay, stay calm. Stay calm. Okay. I'm gonna ask the bigger river what it wants. Okay. stay calm. I'm gonna try and negotiate. I'm here for you. Okay.
Please do. I'm gonna put my hands behind my head.
Are you with me?
Yeah,
look
I'm
at
totally
me.
With
are
you
with me? Are you my man?
You're my
bro.
Are
you gonna be solid?
I trust you, dog.
Can I trust you to be my man on the inside here? Right? I need you to be brave for a second.
I mean, I got nothing else to do. I'm just here.
Right, I'm gonna talk to the river now and ask what it wants. And hopefully, the other person in this comedy sketch will know they're supposed to play the river. Okay? Are you with me, Deepu?
Totally with you, man.
I'm gonna get you out of this river. And hopefully, my partner in this bit knows what's going on. Okay?
Yeah, sure.
I know you're stuck in a river now, but I'm stuck on you. All right?
Yeah.
I'm going to help you out of this.
You're not going to give up. No. Okay.
I'm not going to get... Well, unless the shift changes and a different guy comes in, at which point I will... I'm not giving up, though. You don't give up. Like, if you're done drawing a drawing...
All
right.
I'm
kind of drowning
here. Giving
up on the drawing,
can you talk to the big
river?
You're
done. It's not your job anymore. If you're fixing a car, it's not you giving up on the car. It's fixed. If it's my time for... Deepu, look, I believe in you and I'm going to fix this. I guarantee... Could you believe me?
I mean, can you
do
hurry
you believe
up?
Me?
I believe you. Just hurry.
Okay,
up.
But also, do you believe that like my home time and my family time are really important to me and like you're not going to dominate my off hours? Those are mine.
Listen, just get me out of the river and we're good, man. I'll leave you alone.
I will get you deeper. That sounds like doubt. I'm saying I'm going to negotiate you out of this river situation, okay? But
right.
Also, me time is me time and that doesn't belong to you. That's when I'm off the clock, okay?
Okay. No, I understand. I've been very grabby. I've been very
just
grabby.
Just saying. Okay. 8 o'clock is when I get off. The shift changes.
What time is it now? Just for the I don't know.
7:45.
Oh my
okay?
God.
Okay, I'm gonna get you out of this though.
Okay.
Okay. I'm gonna talk to this other river behind you, who might even have a river weapon. He's threatening you with, but everything in a river looks like a river. Okay, Mr. Bigger River.
Yes.
Can you? Okay, we are here. I am from.
What do you want? I have a guy in my control that I want to fuck up with my weapon.
Well, Deepu, he's used the word weapon. I don't want you to go.
I know.
Go nuts.
I'm hearing all this right now. It's freaking me the fuck out. I don't know.
Calm down.
Look at him.
Calm down, but also, calm down, but also, shut it. Cause like, now it's 47. And we're, you know, I need 10 minutes to collect myself, if I'm being honest. I have stuff in my locker.
But we only have... Oh,
okay. You see how you're talking? Don't. Okay.
Mr. Giant River.
Yes. What the fuck do you want?
How are you... I'm asking what you want. I'm not a... It's not... I'm the hostage negotiator. You can ask stuff of me.
I want you to get in the river as well.
Okay.
I'm armed. I just want to... My hands are up and whoa.
Drop your guns.
Armed.
What is that? What is that? A sword? Put that away.
It's my police sword. Okay. Okay. I will put that
away.
Put that
down.
I
don't want any shenanigans.
I just want to be, I want to let you know, Mr. River, I'm coming in the river, but I am still armed. I'm hiding secret weapons. Okay? So I'm coming in. You can trust me.
Not cool, bro. Not cool.
I don't understand. I'm telling you. Okay. So I have like a hidden harpoon. Should I not bring that in either?
That would be ideal.
Okay, so I'm putting down that weapon. I just want to let you know there are other guys here with weapons.
Whoa. Okay, I'm going to murder everybody. This is it.
Well,
this is bullshit.
Calm down. We're on your side. We'll do
whatever
you say.
Tell them to back off.
Okay, guys.
Tell them to back off.
Okay, they're backing up. I just want to let you know only the ones you can see backed up. Okay. They got out.
I don't.
They got out.
Yeah. Okay.
Damn.
So, that's my point about cheese powder. The point is
defensible.
You and me,
I got you. It's defensible.
I hate that you're using that word now. I hate that you're using that word, and I hate that people are going to look it up and see that it is a word. I hate it.
What
so
are the
much.
Words do you not like me using? Conglomerate?
That's the only one. I'm trying to limit my
institution?
Complaints right now.
Okay, fine. Whatever.
Defensible. I know you're going to keep using it to prove a point to me, but boy, I don't like it. Boy,
okay.
I'm very unhappy about it.
All right. Well, I'll know how to make you mad now. In the one way I know how.
400-1. Yeah. That's really what's going on. This was a good episode.
Okay.
I am a non-doctor spokesperson. The views of Banyan Treatment Center do not express the views of Big Weasel, Little Weasel, LLC, or its affiliates. We talk about mental health a lot on this show, maybe too much, but now we have a great advertiser that can help you with that. Banyan Treatment Centers are alcohol and drug rehabilitation centers. They are located in a whole bunch of states across the country. There's actually one right here in Massachusetts. Almost all of them do cognitive behavioral therapy. Almost all of them take out-of-network providers and other insurance. They are trauma-focused. They're reality therapy. They have, body awareness, all sorts of things like that. If you want to get in touch with Banyan Treatment Center for your mind or your alcohol or drug addiction problem, simply call. Okay, I'll admit to everyone here in the middle of the advertisement. There's a hotline here, and I've always wanted to sing a hotline, but I fear as though I won't. It won't be a real, you won't understand the number if I sing it and everyone will focus on it. So I think I have to, before I say Banyan Treatment Center's phone number, I'm going to have to just sing numbers in fake hotlines. Okay. Sorry. 1-555-4300-7761 pigs. Okay. Sorry. We're getting to Banyan Treatment Center's number in just a second, but one more. Okay. If you need pigs, go. No, I can't do a second pigs one. Now all I want to do is sing hotline songs about pigs. No, Banyan Treatment Center for your drug and alcohol rehabilitation needs. 1-800-508-0119. That's 1-800-508-0119. Hey, so this is the first part. We had other chunks of Todd's interview, but this is going to be my interview with Todd Glass. I don't brag a lot if you listen to the show. I like to stomp around with my massive brain on Deepu and squish him with my intellect, but I really don't brag a lot about accomplishments. This was a big accomplishment for me to talk to Todd. Todd, he ain't the reason I'm in the game. He's the reason I'm staying in the game. He's not the reason that I started podcasting, but he is like an inspiration. He's a very good podcaster. He's very smart. Getting to hear Todd Glass say Hack Thought was like a huge accomplishment in my life, that me and Deepu invented this word of hack thought and thinking that way, and that Todd took to it and used it in what we talked about today. The only thing, you're going to hear this conversation about
language, which Todd has taken the mantle of being someone to talk about improving our language, and he's really smart about it. The only thing that I didn't get to ask Todd, and maybe if he's listening or his fans are listening, who isn't a fan of Todd Glass, go and check. Usually people will keep that information in on the fridge. You can see if you're a fan. Go ahead and check now. But if the only thing that I didn't get to say was we talked about censoring the words that we're going to talk about here, and I do censor them. And the thing that I would have asked Todd if I had, you know, remembered to ask it is if we keep saying them, if we don't censor these words that I say you don't need to say, well, why do people who want to say them willy-nilly, who don't think about their language at all, how are they going to learn? If we get to say those words, even if it's in a discussion of talking about whether we should say them, well, then how are we setting the example? I understand that there's a need to talk about these words in some cases, but if you believe that you don't want to say them, then don't say them. You should just permanently not say them. That's the thing I would want to pick Todd. That's not me accusing Todd, but I'd want to pick his brain on it. Anyway, listen to this very funny Todd Glass said hack thought. Sorry, I'm just thinking about that again. He said hack thought. He said it. He says it in like the first couple seconds. It's amazing. It's a great day. Okay, listen to this thing. Yeah, I love the idea of just asking people, like, how do you know that? Like, it's, I will point out on the show when I have, like, even if you say something today, even though, you know, I idolize you, I'm still going to call you out if you say something like, well, that doesn't really make any sense. Like, I will stop and sort of do a classic Todd Glass analysis of an interaction. If someone says something to me and I'm like, you don't know that that's true. Like, how did you figure that out? And people are so afraid that if they ask someone, if they call someone on it, that they're going to look like a jerk. I think that's part of it. So they hide behind this thing of like, oh, nobody's doing this anymore, instead of being themselves and saying like, no, I miss being a kid. I'm old. I can't play outside. I have a job. Like, they have to say like, kids these days, they don't play with yo-yos anymore. Like, they got to.
Yeah, I don't know. And by the way, I've said this before, there's a reason that bothers me, because it just leads to, you think, oh, well, that's pretty harmless. Somebody says, oh, no one plays outside anymore. No. It is harmless in a way, but it's a slippery slope to what I talk about my whole life is, you know what, there's no good this anymore. There's no good music anymore. There's no good anything. It's like, no, it's not true. And by the way, I love when somebody's saying something that's not true, that if they didn't mind being wrong. Now, listen closely here, because I've been a victim of just wanting to be right. Whenever I say this stuff, I always go, yeah, I'm saying it and I'm reminding myself. If you don't really just want to be right, now no one wants to go, no, I just want to be right. That's not a question you can ask yourself in passing very quickly. You have to stop and go, wait a second, do I just want to be right? Because if you don't mind being wrong, if you're going, no, I don't mind being wrong, then there's good news at the other end of this. The kids still do play outside anymore. So I don't really call anybody on it ever. Like, if I'm at a family thing or somebody says it casually, because I think I'm going to make a wild guess, and I probably could be wrong sometimes, but I think overwhelmingly that's a talking point they have, and they really don't want to be wrong. Because imagine if they went, no, I don't mind being wrong, and then you go, and you show them, kids play outside. Come with me, drive around. We'll go to a skateboard park. We'll go to a basketball court that's outside. We'll go to a center where there's things for kids to do. You would, at the end of the day, go, oh, fuck, I'm pumped. Why? I was wrong about what I was saying. Kids still play outside anymore. But you really don't give it. Most people just...
they don't care.
It's not... they don't, well, it's that there's something else that's bothering them, and they weren't, not purposefully dishonest, not at all purposeful. They just don't realize subconsciously it's not really the kids don't play out any side and kids don't play outside anymore that bothers them. There's something deeper than that. It's like, yeah, maybe they feel like they're getting older. Maybe they see, you know, there's just, they want to believe that there's something they did when they were younger that no one does anymore. Maybe that'll make them feel better. I don't know what it is, but it's a hack thought nevertheless.
The reason that I do sort of ask people about it, and the reason that I like doing this hack thought thing, is I have like I don't really have a ton of philosophies in life, but my only one is just like, I measure all of life by calories, and like, it takes a lot to make food. It takes a lot to get that food into me. And like, that's an awesome thing that I have the food to make energy for me. And like, someone saying something that is just, it's not a thought that they spent any time on. Like, they didn't take time crafting that thought, and I had to hear it. Like, that's just wasted calories. Like, you wasted my brain calories that I had to sit here and listen to it and then ask you, you know, questions about it and have to think about it. You know, it's
right. And you didn't even, and you could call those empty calories. They're not even, and I think the big difference is here that, you know, look, I always imagine there's people listening to us talk right now, and that helps me be at my best. That someone's listening to us right now. And I would imagine that there might be someone thinking, oh, well, you're just talking about a disagreement. No, 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 no. A disagreement is if you put thought into what you're saying, you really made that, that was, you made it, you saw it, you witnessed it, you drove around, you go, hey, if I'm going to say that kids don't play outside anymore, I'm going to put a little work into that. No, 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 that's different. That is big. That is different. That's called a disagreement. We're not having a disagreement. Maybe I'm being a little flippant, because I think most people that say that kids don't play outside anymore, again, not consciously, but subconsciously, if that's the right word, they just pulled it from other thoughts in them. So you're not having a disagreement. They're not even bringing something to the table that has any validity to it.
Yeah. And I think about that thing of people listening to me a lot. Like, I take that as precious. I don't know if it's from coming from entertainment, but I take that as like someone's taking the time to listen to me. Yeah, I don't want to say I can, you know, make leftover casserole thoughts in my house all I want with the weird, you know, sort of half thought things that I have every day. But if I'm going to present it to someone, like, you know, I hate to bring it. I mean, I would love to ask this of you just because we're talking about it. It's the same with PC. Like, a lot of those people that use, I've always said this, is that PC is a slur for people who think about their words. Like, PC was a word invented to demean, or the way it became, was this word that, like, people decided to demean you or me. I don't say the same words you don't say on your show. And they came
right,
up
PC, with this. PC, first of all, you can not use, look, this is my slant on it, and I think I'm pretty right. You cannot use the word, let's pick a word that is up for, the word, using it as an adjective. If you're not using the word,
and by the way, Todd, will be bleeped. People will know that we said a word with an R, but yeah, sure.
Okay. People that are not using the word, this is a little confusing here, probably because the way I'm delivering it. But to me, PC means you're doing something not from your heart, not because someone told you, hey, that's not nice. And you go, oh my God, and you realize it, which happens all the time. People can grow and people are amazing. So that's not PC. I think what people are claiming PC is, it's not really the way you feel, but because maybe you're a comedian or maybe you're in Congress and, you know, you're just doing that to please the masses.
Right. They think you're not thinking about it. They think you're not thinking about it.
But that works both ways. If we're going to say that's what PC is, it's not from your heart. You just did it to maybe stop the ridicule of the on watchers, no matter if it's you have a job or whether it's you're a comedian. That means if you use the word as an adjective around your house, but you stop doing it on stage or on your podcast or just hanging out with your friends, then you're PC.
Right.
So you can't call someone PC unless you know whether they're stopping that activity from their heart or because of the public ridicule that they might face. So I think there's a lot of people that throw out that term that are because they're doing it themselves.
I'll tell you
does
a story.
Does that make sense?
It makes I am right with you. We're always following you, Todd.
Real quick, and I'm not even arguing. That's a completely another argument whether that word is right or it's wrong. That's another argument for another day. We're just saying you can't just say that's PC because, you know, you have to find out. There's some digging you have to do first, because I know with me, I'm not doing it because I'm PC. I'm doing it because I over the years, I nip and tuck my verbiage. And one more quick thing.
You don't be quick at all, Todd. Go as much as you want.
I know you have a thought in your head, but you have a pen probably in front of you, and I don't. I sloppily sometimes use that around the house, and I literally did it last night. I was doing something, it doesn't even matter what, and I went, oh, wait, that's not very PC. And I went, no, that's not what I'm trying to say. This is just in my house with my friends. I go, what I'm trying to say is, that doesn't feel very nice. That doesn't feel, I feel like I'm judging a group of people not fairly. So what, that's really what I'm trying to say. And that's what happened last night at my house. I went, I don't want to sloppily use that word. I just was doing something and I went, well, that doesn't feel like I know what that group of people are going through, or I know, or I follow the word to the path that actually causes people some hurt or destruction. Yeah. That's on my own. So I sloppily went to use the word, but I went, really, what I was saying is it doesn't sit right within my own self, and I can better myself without anybody telling me I should. And that's what I did last night. We all went, oh yeah, there's a better way to say that.
I'll tell you why I don't. So I'll tell you a bummer story, and then I'll tell you a thought that I think you can dig into. I don't use that word with an R for mentally handicapped or mentally disabled people.
Do you bleep? Do you really bleep that out?
Sure. Yeah.
Now what? Because I always say, and by the way, we don't want to argue over semantics. We're so much both of us on the same page. But when using it in the right context to say it shouldn't be done.
Here's what it is. Here's what it is for me, Todd. I have this philosophy that I just want everyone to have fun. And there are certain people that it doesn't matter what it is, they're not going to have fun if they hear it. And so for me, I'm trying to just be sensitive and say, I agree. I don't ever find it, you know, out of line when you use it on your show or anything, or in the discussion of it, offensive. For me, it's like, I don't want to turn away. I'm trying to, like you say, I'm trying to bring in those 90 percenters. So I don't want the person who is maybe almost about to change their language, or is maybe not as understanding, like, for example, the C word. We had a long debate about using that word, because I talk to women all the time who are like, and I'll bleep it here, is I want to say, like, I think it's a funny word. And like, you know, Joan Rivers said it, and all these people say it, and like they say it in England. And so I said to people, look, we're going to have this debate. I'm going to censor it so that if you're against saying, you know, you're going to be able to participate so that you can maybe come to somebody else's side instead of being turned away instantly. That was my thinking on censoring it in the show. You know, and audience.
Again, I hope you have a pen in front of you, because I don't want to keep cutting you off, and I apologize. But in the same topic that we're talking about, that word, you know, some people, I get why they think they made a good point. It happens to me too. I think I make a good point, and my friends even agree with me, go, Todd, I agree with what you're trying to say, but your point isn't great. And some people go, you can't compare the R word to the N word, because people will still say the R word. And I go, so what do you want to do? You want to wait till it is as bad? Because you're right. You can still get away with saying that word, and it's not at the mall. I'm talking about when you actually use the word. You know, if you're at a dinner or you're somewhere and you drop something and you go, oh, that's, you know, and you say the R word. You're right. You're right. It's not there. It's not as vile and disgusting as the N word. You know, it is to me, I should say that. To me, it is. But I get it. It doesn't pack the same punch. But what they're saying is you can't compare it because one, what's the point even? Like, you want to wait? Because let me tell you something. 25 years from now, and I'm going way down the road so I can be absolutely right, and you walk around and you go, oh, I dropped my phone. I forgot I had a doctor's appointment today. It'll be the same.
But even what you're going through.
Semantics or be cute. It'll be close enough.
Yeah.
So be careful when you go, well, you shouldn't compare that to that. They're all the same. They're all the same. I've said it before. Instead of saying that's lame, I want to pick a group of people and say that's gay. Instead of saying, boy, I'm clumsy, I want to pick a group of people and go, instead of clumsy, I want to use that group of people to say that. And if you go further back, instead of saying, he spent his money frivolously, they want to go, oh, he's N-rich. It's the same.
Yeah.
It's all the same.
And even Paul F. Tompkins pointed out that lame is, you know, is talking about people who have a limp. So, you know.
And by the way, that's always great when people go, oh, well, then you shouldn't say lame or idiot. And they expect you. And by the way, maybe at certain times in my life, I would have spent a lot of energy going, no, that's different. Lame isn't a word that's on the table anymore. Yes, 30 years ago. I go, an idiot, we don't use idiot to describe people, and they expect you to do that. You know, it's easier, and I learned it from Paul F. Tompkins, to go, because what they're saying is, instead of debating what you're telling them maybe they shouldn't say, and by the way, it's not restricting people's language, Maybe it's like when your mother corrected your father not to say ain't, or maybe they're making your language beautiful. And if you're misconstruing that as restricting it, well, then we have to have another conversation. But when somebody says, well, then you shouldn't say stupid, and you shouldn't say idiot, my new favorite thing is to go, you know what? You're right.
Yeah, that's Tai Chi. Yield and make the enemy weak.
And it's not a flippant, you're right. No. It's not a flippant, you're right. You're like, the reason you know that there's a little bit of, you know, you just, you know, somebody is because they expected you to do that. And they're trying to point out some bad behavior you might have to rationalize theirs. So see, it ends up backfiring on them, not you.
You have a thing that I have, which is overconsiderateness. And so even you are now, you know, victim to somebody else's hack thought, which is that you're having to consider why they're saying these things and all this stuff and whether they will or won't be right. And it's like, no, in the end, the thing I always compare to when people stop saying certain words is and why that thought of like, okay, this I'm trying to figure out why people still want to keep saying this. The week that you stop saying a certain slur or whatever it is that someone wants to suggest, or you don't want to upset groups, or you just don't want to have hate in the wrong places in your speech, the first time you hear someone say it in that negative, conventional way, oh, it's so instantly is solidified. You're just so instantly like, oh, there's this like horrible feeling in the pit of your stomach. You're like, I made the right choice to stop saying it. It does
well,
not.
Well, yes, because the funny thing is we're not really talking. And by the way, out of my own paranoia, sometimes when I talk about this over and over and over and over and over again, I think I get paranoid that somebody will say enough already, that there's someone out there that even agrees with me. And by the way, no one agrees with you. That's a dishonest thought when someone goes, I agree with you, but enough already. No, you don't agree with me, or you wouldn't say enough already. We're not arguing that, you know, we're not arguing. It's the question that what Sarah Silverman told me, and I loved it. It gave me a little bit of help there. She goes, well, just say, oh, did it end? Because if you go, yes, it ended. Well, then you're right. I should shut the fuck up. I didn't know it ended. So until it ends, you can't say it enough. And yeah. when you talk about the people that – this is not about that word or anything. This is about just basic consideration and love for your fellow person. So the funny thing is, even amongst the people that agree with that, and we're talking about learning to express yourself, which will make every relationship better – go look on websites where people are commenting on stuff and watch the language they throw around when arguing about this and what they'll call somebody else. And you'll go, oh, of course. Now, is this language used other places? Of course it is. But overwhelmingly, a ton more. And you go, wow, of course they're using that type of language, arguing back and forth with each other online or about a YouTube clip. Because if you're arguing over still using the word gay instead of lame or instead of whatever you're replacing it for, the adjective that's out there at your hands, you're not the question. We're just really talking about someone that doesn't know how to express themselves. So of course, when they're arguing about that, they don't know how to express themselves. So they go to, and then the word starts getting used. And then I'm like, wait, how did this? and then the C word, and it's like, oh, you know, and you know what? They are fun words to use. And when they first get taken away from you, you feel like you don't have that punch you need, that punch when you're angry. And you know what? I've been there. I've used some of these words, and I get it. When they're taken away on my podcast, at first I thought, God, what am I going to say in its place? Because it has a kick, and it has a twist, and it's vulgar poetry, and it can give you a little bit, it gives you a verbal shiving to somebody. But guess what? Eventually you do get better at it. And you don't have to give up crassness or vulgarity to care about somebody else. You don't. You think you do, and you're at a wit's end because you don't know what to do. But you'll come up with words.
Now it's time for our participation section, which is We Didn't Take a Survey. This is a section where we say things on the show. We don't have any stats or information on it. And then we ask people, is this a piece of groupthink or hack thought? Here are those questions right now. So this is a sexpert Tyomi. If you don't know Glamerotica 101 or Tyomi, she is a very smart. She speaks at many kind of sex conferences and lectures and on sex and is writing a book about threesomes. But she's a very intelligent person, and we're going to talk to her right now.
We should eliminate urinals entirely.
Okay, so when you say urinal, you mean the toilets that men use, right?
Yeah.
No, I don't agree. I think that you should use those instead of toilets.
Here's my question that I wouldn't ask any other guest that I would ask you. My position is that you could easily design a urinal for a woman. But
yo, straight, listen, I used to pee standing up when I was a kid because I was like, men can do it. We can do it too.
It seems as though to me, and I like normal guests. It's not an expert on genitals at all. Most of the guests that we have on this show have limited experience even seeing genitals, including their own. So and they know, and other guests listening, you know I'm right. So don't think I'm making fun of you. You know I'm speaking the truth. You could easily design a urinal that worked for a woman, but they don't, which is odd.
You know, I just think that as a woman, though, because most of us, I don't know how many women have a strong control over their pelvic muscles to aim.
Let me tell you, most men don't. I pee all over the bathroom. At my own house, it's disgusting. It looks as though someone's popping water balloons in there every half an hour, Tyomi. It's disgusting. I don't have any control over it. I don't want you to think that I have any control. It's not, there's no control involved.
Oh man, you gotta get a handle on that.
Yeah, well, I don't know. There might be a martial arts class I can take, but until then, it's. I don't know what I'm doing. So you don't think most women have control over it? Sorry.
I can't speak to most women,
right.
But you have to have control over your pelvic muscles to aim your string, mm-hmm. And that, you know, that takes conscious control of your pelvic muscles. I mean, I don't know how many women Kegel and can like stop the stroke of a penis in mid-stroke just with the muscles. You got to have that kind of control, because if you can't aim it outward, then you're just going to be trickling down your leg and now your clothes are messed up.
Yeah, I don't want that at
but
all.
You know what? I'm an expert of like peeing outside, because in my days of clubbing and also just having the bladder that just wants to turn up whenever, I've had to stop on the side of the road a few times to pee. I mean, whatever. Squatting is like, I think I've mastered the squat pee.
Yeah.
You just have to make sure, like, if you're wearing pants and you don't want to take them off to use the bathroom, you got to pull your pants forward to, no, pull them back to avoid the string.
I don't pretend to have it. I'm trying to let you speak as much as you can, because as many of things as I pretend to know, I would hate to pretend I know how to use a vagina to not pee on my pants. I part of podcasting, Tyomi, I can't lie to you, is about making people think you know more than you actually know. There's no way anyone's going to believe I know how to use a vagina to not pee on jeans. No one's going to buy it. You know, but I'm on the record as here's my short version of my thing is if you talk to someone in 1950 and say in 20 years they're going to have women's jeans companies, that is more unbelievable than to say in 2018 we won't have a way for women to pee without using a conventional toilet. That it's more unbelievable that there would be women's jeans companies in 1950s than it is to say women won't pee standing up by the year 2018. That's my official position of the show. That we're not making it easy for women pants wise. You've described a version of pulling up or down or some sort of physics of pants that is beyond my comprehension because I'm not a woman and therefore stupider. But I don't know. I don't think they've made it any easier for women to pee standing up in the past 60 years that women have worn pants.
Yeah, I'm I'm pretty much an expert on that.
That's the next book, people. Stay tuned. Okay. And last on our survey segment, the Jupiter Boys from the Jupiter Boys podcast. Jupiter Boys.
Okay, number three. We should get rid of form letters. I don't know what they are. Well, I am for it.
What's a form letter?
I don't know. I think it's like when it's like, dear sir, we are cordially requesting blah, 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 blah. Like,
yeah, I like want to be able to be, just be, yo, fucker, I'm having a shindig. Come if you want. I don't give a fuck either way. But okay. That's how you invite people to things. I like that.
Okay. Question four. We shouldn't take hats off indoors.
So taking hats off indoors,
I'm not sure which point like it's arguing for, but what do you think? Should you take a hat off indoors?
I don't really care.
No, me neither.
Unless it's like an invasive hat, like if it's like one of those big ass sombreros.
Yeah, if it's a gigantic cowboy hat, fuck you, man, take it off. But if it's a little beanie?
We should all have hat hooks on us at all times. So like little hooks on our like belts and stuff that we can just hang our hat on. How fucking, convenient would that be?